Hi, on Trek Tuesday, we have at the beginning of the season, executive producer Alex Kurtzman and showrunner Michelle Paradise of Star Trek Discovery. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, with its cautionary and hopeful tales, and fantasy, which enhances our capacity to dream, horror, is it a good scare, or perhaps looking into our dark sides, and comics with heroes that guide us to be better. All this to help us explore our humanity. What I really liked is by going into the future, that Discovery was able to kind of at least bring back the ideals of the Federation that kind of were mothball. Talk about that and really, really changing the whole nature of what Discovery's purpose was.
I think that jumping to the future was about a lot of things for us, but one of them was, you know, Trek as a mirror that holds itself up to a time, right? Always, starting with TOS to, you know, you can take any iteration of Trek and it will tell you something about the time in which it was made. And it felt to us like we are at a moment where so many of the ideals that we have assumed and taken for granted, not just in our country, but around the world, are under fire. And so the idea of jumping to the future in what Trek does best, which is come up with an allegorical story that reflects what's happening now, it, you know, the idea that you had to rebuild the Federation and therefore define its most prized ideals felt very right. And, you know, the idea of what it means to be the Federation, what it means to restore it, what it means to fight for it, was perfect. You know, it was just a perfect allegory or metaphor or whatever you want to call it. And so that was a huge part of it.
It also, jumping ahead also gave us the fresh snow to do that and to explore new types of conflicts and things like that that reflect where we are today.
There is more Star Trek Discovery Season 5. With showrunner Michelle Paradise and executive producer Alex Kurtzman in a moment. The Star Trek spinoffs.
Oh, it's been amazing. it's been wonderful to be a part of that and to get to see the new iterations that that are coming out. I mean, the Star Trek universe is only growing. Alex can certainly speak better to that, but it's been exciting to be part of that.
And I think that in sort of tacking along the different roads that Discovery gave us, the fact that we were able to bring Pike and Spock and Number One into the show, one of the writers that I had worked with, actually Akiva, before we even cast Pike, said, you know, there's a great Star Trek show with Pike in the lead and the entire era on the Enterprise before Kirk takes over. And I said, why don't we cast a good Pike first, see how that works, and then we'll go from there. And that ended up obviously becoming Strange New Worlds, but that could never have happened without Season 2 of Discovery, never. And I think that one of the things that we have really loved is, you know, I believe strongly that every Star Trek show needs to have its own very unique identity. I don't want you to ever think that, you know, you can watch one show and get your fill of Star Trek and therefore don't have to watch the others. Each one has to have its own identity, but, you know, the key to that is not making one show that's supposed to please everybody, right? If you make one show where you try and please everybody, you're ultimately going to please nobody. So each of these shows is really designed and targeted to access a very specific part of the fandom. And there's a real misnomer about Trek fandom, which is it's this generic term you can apply to everybody. There are so many different subsets of Trek fans. And so I think the idea with the rainbow of shows that we're doing is to appeal to each subset without necessarily having to, you know, to get everybody in the door. Discovery led the way in so many ways. You know, it really pointed us as a compass toward what was possible. And that has been incredibly exciting for us. And so now we're on this wild adventure and we're in the middle of shooting Section 31 and we're halfway through the writing the first season of Starfleet Academy, and we start shooting that at the end of the summer. So then there's more up behind that. So it's been pretty amazing.
the emotional and mental health aspect of the series?
I think it's the focus on the characters themselves and always wanting them to be grounded in whatever experience they're having. And then mental and emotional health naturally comes from that. You know, particularly in, you know, season four, of course, was a big one for that when we were writing and shooting in a time of COVID. And that was a time where we all really had to work, even among ourselves, to take care of ourselves in the midst of everything that was going on. But aside from that, it really is the focus on the characters themselves and wanting to make sure that we treat each of these characters as a whole being, and wanting to make sure that they are not one note. And, you know, when you look at some of the things that these characters have been through, some of the traumatic experiences, you know, mental and emotional health would naturally come into that. And so that became something that we wanted to explore as well. And, you know, as it turns out, that has become something that is quite resonant both for our actors and for fans of the show in terms of being able to respond to those things and those things being very meaningful. So I'm personally grateful that those things have landed and that they've been helpful in some way.
Exploring some very big themes this season.
You know, we didn't know going into this season that it would be our last, but thematically we explore very big things, meaning where we come from, things like that. And then, you know, any given season we look at how those things are going to play out with each character and their particular arcs. So I do think at the end of the day, it's going to feel very satisfying. You know, and as you may be aware, we did get a chance to shoot some additional material to wrap up the series itself. But I think people will feel really good about how it's all wrapping up and that it tells a complete series story for each of our beloved characters.
The influences this season.
Well, I mean, I have to give the credit to Michelle, honestly. Michelle's been the leader here. But we definitely knew that we wanted to do a Quest season, and obviously, you know, probably the greatest quest ever committed to film is the Indiana Jones movies. So I think there was some of that influence there. I don't know that Star Wars was ever really brought up. That
no.
Wasn't part of it. But certainly the idea of a quest, you know, and the idea of putting pieces together in a giant puzzle to get to a reveal.
Yeah, we did. We sort of internally talked about it as an Indiana Jones type season because of that, and because that series of films is known for its adventure. And we wanted to have fun with that and kind of explore a shifted tonal direction from previous seasons, while of course maintaining all of the things that make Discovery, Discovery. But yeah, we didn't actually talk about Star Wars or any of the other franchises in this, but.
I think those sand speeders going in the desert gave me like a Tatooine
kind of thing. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that, you know, we wanted, that was kind of, you know, when I think of Indiana Jones, when we think of Indiana Jones, we think of those, you know, like the archaeological expeditions and the sand and the, you know, ruins and all of that. And I don't know, we just thought of this city in the desert and it became kind of a thing that we started to play with. And we wanted a cool way for them to get around.
Preparing for a shorter season with only 10 episodes.
Well, the preparation and production are the same. You know, when we started and we found out that it was going to be 10 rather than 13, you know, you kind of look at the arc of the season and maybe compress a few things. Maybe there are some tributaries that you might go down that you don't then go down because you want to really focus in on the story. But in terms of the practicalities, it didn't change much. You know, we still had, you know, 10 episodes to do, and each of those episodes is its own juggernaut. So we just worked to make every single episode the best it could possibly be.
Look for Star Trek Discovery on Paramount Plus. Sci-Fi Talk gives you, the listener, the option to customize your own playlist from over 1,000 episodes. There's exclusive videos on movies and television you must see, plus exclusive podcast series and episodes, all commercial-free and uncensored. I'll field your questions and requests and ask me anything. There's also a free trial period of 30 days with a special introductory offer of $250 a month. And if you opt in for the yearly subscription, you pay an average of $2.08 a month. Look for Trek Tuesday with episodes like this on Star Trek series with interviews from every generation. Plus, special podcasts on the series Silo, and also featuring a database of my interviews when I started podcasting in 2005. There's my original series, The Science of Mars, as scientists, astronauts, writers, and historians speculate on what it would be like to live on the angry red planet. All this at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. Subscribe now for a special introductory rate of $2.50 a month. And how you do it? Just click on the link in the show notes for easy enrollment to listen on the device of your choice. For Trek Tuesday, this is Tony Tolato.